Live from San Francisco on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network, you are listening to Wrestling Observer Live with your hosts, Brian Alvarez and Mike Sempervivi.
Are you ready? Are you ready? Let's get it on!
How's it going, everybody? Mike Sempervivi here with you on Wrestling Observer Live. We are here every single day, Monday through Friday for an hour, 3 p.m. Eastern and noon Pacific. Sundays for 2 hours, beginning at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 Pacific. Replays every single day, including Saturdays, here on the Sports Byline Radio Network. Sirius Satellite Radio, Rush Channel 93, the American Forces Network, Cable Radio Network, iHeartRadio, TuneIn, iTunes. No matter how you're listening, we'd like to thank you for making Observer Live the most listened to daily professional wrestling and mixed martial arts program in the world. And as you can tell, I'm still in the big boy chair of Brian Alvarez, who is in Los Angeles for some family stuff. But never fear, once again, tagging along with me will be the great Vic Sosa, also of WrestlingObserver.com. He hosts the Doc Young's Wrestling Weekly alongside the legendary Les Thatcher, which you can hear coming up on the... not sure when it's going to be up. I'll ask Vic a little bit of a new schedule now, it seems like. So I'll let him tell you when that show gets posted up. But must listen for me every week with a great guy by the name of Les Thatcher, who has done pretty much everything in his damn near 60 years in this business. It's been a long, long time. And you can also hear Vic on 106.7 Light FM in New York as well. And we're going to be doing hour two of Wrestling Observer Newsletter Hall of Fame Talk. The second of probably many minutes and hours coming up here on the program over the next couple of weeks. Last time around, Vic and I kind of laid out how the whole thing works, as well as some of the most notable names from the historical portion of the ballot, as well as the modern North American category as well. Names like Daniel Bryan, CM Punk, the Junkyard Dog, the Ultimate Warrior, Ivan Koloff. A lot of big names on there, and we're going to be venturing into other parts of the world today. But after the break, when I bring Vic back on, I want to start off where we left off last time. Sting, who I believe, out of all the names on the ballot, may be the most controversial, at least on this side of the Atlantic. Big Daddy probably takes that cake in the UK, but it's definitely probably going to be Sting here, and Vic Sosa and I will be taking a look at all that stuff. Only one phone line today, 1-800-878-PLAY, if you'd like to call in. You can also tweet us at SemperVivi or at VS1067. So stay with us. This is Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Radio Network.
Special announcement from Lumber Liquidators. Hundreds of styles and inventory are now available at our fourth annual Fall Flooring Yard Sale. For a limited time, save as much as 70% or more on designer quality floors with over 400 varieties of beautiful flooring, like 3/4 inch solid pre-finished hardwood from an incredible $1.99. Hot new wood look tile is clearance price from 99 cents. Hand-scraped hickory laminate is about half off. Plus, hurry in for additional yard sale deals starting at just 39 cents and get 24 months special financing. Don't miss the Fall Flooring Yard Sale. Visit LumberLiquidators.com to find a store near you.
Hey, so you saw the premiere of Undateable Live Friday, right?
Oh, yeah, man. I was part of the show. I even tweeted the cast during the show.
Wow, really?
Yes, you can literally connect with the cast during Undateable Live on social media.
That's
like, you know,
so
like
cool.
Twitter or Instagram, you know? So it's unlike any TV experience ever. I mean, this show isn't just live. It's alive.
It's amazing. Then it's the premiere of a new comedy, Truth Be Told, starring Mark Paul Gosselaar and Tone Bell.
Man, it looks laugh out loud funny.
Tonight on NBC.
Woo, it's going to be good.
Tired of calls, levies, and liens from the IRS or hiring others who don't get the job done? Call Wall & Associates and you'll never talk to the IRS again. The IRS has a program to eliminate tax debt, and Wall & Associates professionals are trained to maximize its benefits for you. You always speak with a live person with real support and real knowledge. We've helped thousands of taxpayers like you settle their tax debt with the IRS for a fraction of what they owe. We solve tax problems. Call Wall & Associates now, 800-480-5708. We have the professionals who know how to solve tax problems. If you owe money to the IRS, your tax problems are not going away by themselves, and the passage of time will only make matters worse. Act now, before it's too late. Call Wall & Associates right now to speak to a professional tax relief agent. Call 800-480-5708. That's 800-480-5708. Again, 800-480-5708.
Do you have an old car sitting in your driveway? How would you like to learn a hassle-free way to get rid of it, help kids in need, and get a great tax donation in the process? It's real easy. One simple free call to our car donation hotline is all it takes. Call the Neshama Foundation
at 800-760-4895, 800-760-4895.
We'll come pick your car up for free and give you a tax donation for the full value of the car, running or not. The value of your unwanted car will go to help kids in need. It's fast and easy. Just call us and your car will be gone and on its way to helping children in 48 hours. And you get a nice tax deduction. Call the Neshama Foundation now to get rid of your car, help kids, and get a tax write-off.
Call 800-760-4895, 800-760-4895, 800-760-4895. That's 800-760-4895.
You are listening to Wrestling Observer Live with Brian Alvarez and Mike Sempervivi on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network.
All right, we're back here on Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Radio Network. I am Mike Sempervivi in the big boy chair. Brian Alvarez's big boy chair, which is very ironic. Brian's a very dainty man, but enough making fun of Brian. It's time to bring in my co-conspirator, Mr. Vic Sosa, also of WrestlingObserver.com, as well as Light 106.7 up here in New York. And Vic, how are you?
I am doing very well today, Mr. Sempervivi. Coming to you from the City of Winners, you understand? New York City,
yeah,
where the New York Mets are still playing serious October baseball. I hesitate to ask how your Washington Nationals managerial search thing is going over there. I'm sure they're interviewing lots of worthy candidates. Well, maybe we should just talk football. Oh, no, wait. You're a Falcons fan. Last night probably wasn't a whole lot of fun there either. I tell you what, since I'm such a magnanimous individual, we won't even mention that again over the course of the hour. Let's just stick to wrestling talk today. How about that, Mike?
You know, you're going to get a pass on this because of that deep, sexy voice that you have. Now, up there on Light 106, before we do move on here, up there on Light 106, which if you have the iHeart app, you can not only listen to this show, but listen to you as well.
That's true.
But you come on after Delilah, don't you?
I do. 1 o'clock in the morning, so you've got to be a hearty soul or up to no good to hear me usually.
Have you ever stopped to think about how many babies have been made to the sounds of your voice?
My understanding is that there was at least 40 last night, so I'm on a roll right now. We're heading into the weekend on top of that, so this is going to be a really good weekend. I'm feeling very powerful today, Mike.
That's it. You know, they give they send in their dedications to Delilah, and the girl hears it, and she's FaceTiming the man, and she's all excited. And, you know, he just happens to be having a conversation with her. Going, Delilah gives the dedication. She freaks out. You need to come over right now. By the time he gets there, there's your voice introducing whatever today's Love Sexy hit is, putting that on. And I wonder how many children have been named Victor because of that reason.
Oh, that I don't know. I don't have any stats, no hard evidence, so to speak, on that stat whatsoever. I can neither confirm nor deny that, Mr. Sempervivi.
Yeah, it's going to be a long weekend for me sports-wise. I have a feeling here the Rangers got shut out by the Habs last night, which is always painful, 3-0. Yes, I like all of the teams that just somehow figure out a way to not win or come up and choke at the end. There's nothing like a Washington sports team. Can't remember who wrote this, but the Sisyphusian ways to just break your heart and to die every year. But hopefully the revenge comes on the Mets when we steal Wally Backman away or whoever you have there in the farm system as far as a manager goes, and maybe we can just try to kill you from the inside. A cancer sort of thing, which leads me into the transition of, Vic, where we left off last night, a lot of people believe if Sting makes it into the Hall of Fame, it'll be a cancer that eats it out from the inside. Maybe not dramatic, but he has got to be probably the most polarizing name, I believe, at least this year, with how kind of things fall on the North American ballot, with the fact that he did come back, finally goes to work for the WWE, and the results are we can just probably be nice about it and say a mixed bag when it comes to the in-ring. Actually, it's an empty bag when it comes to the in-ring, and possibly a mixed bag depending on how you look at it from outside the ring. Big Daddy, as I said, and we'll get to that name in a little bit when we run through the European candidates and let people know who they are. Is really that guy in the UK, because you have that thing when it comes with to him where there are people that blame the the demise of professional wrestling on television in the United Kingdom on World of Sport directly on Big Daddy. So that's where he, you know, nobody blames any close of business or anything like that on Sting, but they will point to him not doing the business that a lot of people may believe that he does. And how things always shake out every year as I go through my ballot, you know, ultimately I cut it down to 15 guys before I cut it down to the 10 off those main categories, which for those people who weren't listening yesterday, there's a historical portion, North American, European. There are the islands, the Caribbean, which is also tied in with all like Australia and New Zealand and places like that, as well as Japan. And in those categories, you know, there's always been a lot of debate, and Sting's been one of those guys where, you know, it gets down to my last 15 every year, and there always seems to be somebody else that would knock him off, whether it be the Andersons who aren't on the ballot this year, or let's say a John Cena, you know, came on the ballot. There are have been some people that I have felt more strongly about in the last couple of years that, unfortunately, Sting always makes the last cut and gets knocked off. This year, he didn't for me. And I wonder how he did across the board for lots of people. And I really think it's probably going to be a lot of debate. But what do you think about Sting? You're old enough. You've seen his whole career, too, and have seen kind of how things have been. How do you feel about Sting?
He's always been presented very well. I've always seen him sort of low as like the guy next to the guy. And I don't mean that in a disparaging fashion, because you've got to be a pretty big star to be that high up the card. I just never saw him as the guy who was that difference maker that would cause me to cast my vote for him if I had 10 other people I was passionate about voting for. I'm interested, though, to get your take on one thing, because it seemed as though Dave Meltzer indicated on the website the other day, while he's still very early in the ballot counting process, it seems as though Sting's run in TNA and subsequent appearances here in the last year in WWE appear to have helped his candidacy with a fair amount of voters. And since he's gone from off the ballot for you to on the ballot this year, how much of an impact did TNA and or WWE have on your thought process this year?
I don't think TNA ever did. I think when it came to TNA for Sting, it helped him in that there's a whole generation of people that are Sting fans and were influenced by Sting and watched him growing up like I did that. Does our fandom get in the way a little bit? Maybe. But even if you could be the biggest Sting fan in the world, you could never say he was a good promo, especially when you put him in comparison to the Ric Flairs of the world, the Dusty Rhodes, when he broke in, especially, my God, you know, in Mid-South alone with Bill Watts, Eddie Gilbert, Michael Hayes, Ted DiBiase, Steve Williams. I mean, just the names are ridiculous. And as his career went on, he didn't really improve all that much. And there were so many great ones out there. In TNA, he was cutting great promos. And I don't know exactly why there was a switch that flipped. But from that point on, you know, Sting's still not the greatest orator in the world or anything like that. But it's, I think, the overriding charisma for some reason seemed to come out a lot more in TNA. And I think that's one of the biggest things with Sting is that charisma. And WWE is proof, I think, if nothing else, where they can't kill him, which I know this is probably going to be a weird comparison, but he's probably going to be the Joe Namath of the Observer Hall of Fame if he makes it in. There's going to be a lot of people that point and go, no. But the overriding legend, the overriding stardom of Sting, and the influence he had on a lot of people, I think really does overcome a lot of other things. The fact that we talk about those bad promos, but people for 25 years have still wanted to hear what Sting had to say. the fact that he comes to WWE and is still a star to a magnitude where he loses to Triple H at WrestleMania, people still want to see him face off against The Undertaker. He goes out and loses to Seth Rollins. People could not care less. They would still, if they announced Sting and Undertaker for WrestleMania, people would still lose their minds. I think he fits into that Namath category where he's going to be hotly debated. You're going to look at numbers and those sort of measurable metrics and go, he doesn't belong there. And there's going to be a lot of people on the other side because of the overwhelming, you know, superiority of his stardom that believes that he does. And I can't hold all of WCW and their failings against him. I think his stuff with Rick Rude and Vader, you know, primarily in WCW at a time where WCW was kind of at its lowest, you know, is held against him. And I don't think it is. I think that gets, you know, understated. But I'll throw it back to you because I've rambled on here for the whole first segment about it and get your thoughts on it, as well as getting into Europe, Japan, and some of the other places around there. If you want to check in with us, 1-800-878-PLAY, 1-800-878-7529. This is Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Radio Network.
Here's an urgent alert from the Student Loan Hotline. The average student loan debt is $25,000. Have you been out of college for 10 or more years and you're still making your student loan payments? If you are struggling with paying off your student loan, if you are past due, we can help. Nationwide Student Loan Relief can now restructure your student loans. We can get your student loans out of default, stop any wage garnishments, stop harassing collection calls, and even eliminate your student loan payment. If you can't afford your student loans, or if you're past due and you need help, you must call right now. We will restructure your loan or your money back, and that's a guarantee. So call the Student Loan Hotline right now. 800-949-8707. 800-949-8707. 800-949-8707. 800-949-8707.
Do you know which investment has tripled in price since the debt crisis and risen an average 20% a year for 11 years? It's not stocks, not bonds. It's silver. And right now, we at Lear Capital believe silver is poised to hit new record highs. And we're making it easier to own than ever. For a limited time, new customers with $5,000 or more to invest in gold or silver can get up to 10 certified Morgan Silver Dollars absolutely free. That's right, up to 10 100-year-old Morgan Silver Dollars when you invest $5,000 or more. A $600 value free. This offer is available for IRA accounts as well.
Call right now, 800-631-9229, 800-631-9229, 800-631-9229. Call Lear Capital now, 800-631-9229.
Today, investors need to secure and protect their life savings. With government spending out of control, they continue to print money to cover the ever-increasing debt, which decreases the value of the dollar and promotes inflation. American Bullion offers a hassle-free opportunity to transfer any portion of your existing IRA or previous 401k to a gold IRA for your protection. Take advantage of the lower gold prices today and enjoy the long-term security and hedge against inflation that gold and silver can provide in an IRA. Thousands of others have trusted American Bullion to transfer their IRAs into gold, and you can too. Call American Bullion today and discover the stability, protection, and peace of mind that a gold IRA can bring. Call American Bullion today at 800-576-1046 for a free consultation and receive their free IRA rollover guide, which offers the best information on gold IRAs. Keep your life savings safe and sound when you can. Call 800-576-1046. That's 800-576-1046 for your free gold IRA guide.
You are listening to Wrestling Observer Live with Brian Alvarez and Mike Sempervivi on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network.
All right, we're back. Wrestling Observer Live here on the Sports Byline Radio Network. I am Mike Sempervivi in the big boy chair today for Brian Alvarez. Joining me, Vic Sosa. Action Bronson let us in. You will not be hearing Vic play Action Bronson. I don't think iHeart likes that, and I don't think that's the kind of thing you would want on your station. What is the number one song right now that is out there for the format which you bust out?
Oh, my goodness. The biggest artists on the station now are probably a lot of the usual
suspects. Do they still play a lot of Train?
The occasional Train. Not a whole lot. Maroon 5 is probably one of the biggest artists. Katy Perry, Kelly Clarkson, Lady Gaga, stuff like that.
Okay, so yeah. See, Gaga wouldn't have figured that would have been in there on all that stuff. I was just trying to think about that. For some reason, just think of like, I just like making fun of Train, and I have no reason why. I had no clue, but that doesn't matter right now. What does matter are people making fun of me for possibly choosing Sting. And you heard a lot of my diatribe there, and you know, this is something, you know, the debate with Sting could go a lot longer than an hour, especially among old wrestling fans. I won't drag it out for too long unless somebody wants to call into 1-800-878-PLAY to kind of give their opinion on how they view Sting. But you know, did anything I say kind of sway you at all when it comes to him, or how do you view him? Because really the big thing with Sting comes down to business. And the problem with that always is, as you continue to dig, as you go along, yes, he didn't draw like Luger against Ric Flair. And no, he couldn't be the, you know, the one monetary savior of the company. But the ineptness that was WCW from the time Turner bought it in 1988 or whenever it was. I think it was 88. All the way through, leading out to where it died for good, and AOL spun it off and sold it to WWE. I think putting any blame on him for that would be really the whole is greater than the sum of its parts. We're seeing that with drawing now in WWE. How after the boom period of the 80s, you know, there's very few guys. A Brock Lesnar is one that can move the needle by himself, but there are very, very few men out there where the part is truly more important than the whole.
Well, I would agree with that. And he probably does to some extent suffer from just how inept WCW was during the early portion of his career, and being seen as the franchise, as he was called. He was, in fact, their franchise for so long before the NWO arrived. So there was a lot of years where he was the face of the company, carrying the banner at a time when they were struggling. And the fact that they were struggling really wasn't necessarily all his fault, but he was one of the biggest faces of the company at the time. So perhaps there's a little bit of guilt by association there, because I'm not sure there were too many people that really could have lifted the WCW boat, so to speak, during some of those lean years in the 90s prior to a lot of the big changes that were implemented by Eric Bischoff. But by the same token, and he was an important part. I mean, they did put him in the rafters for a year, and the whole point was to make him the main event at Starrcade and have the WCW hero come out on top. And I don't know how much blame or if any he deserves for the way that shook out. But, I mean, that match on a lot of levels. Well, yeah, but, you know.
if the story is true, for those who don't know, Nick Patrick being paid off by Hulk Hogan to legitimately throw off the ending of that match, which it did, and it killed the angle. And they had, I mean, nobody could have done what Sting did. Nobody, period. Point blank, there was nobody else, and there was no other character that could have done what he did with that whole turn from WCW on, and it was so long in coming. And he was a bigger star really coming out of it until it was sabotaged at the end, and still he survived it. So I don't know. It's things like that where you start drawing those lines where I have a little bit of an issue with people where, you know, well, you know, who just bang on him constantly about, you know, the failings of WCW. But then again, that's what you get when you're the poster boy of the company and never leaving. And the fact of the matter is, because he couldn't talk, as great as the character was, if he came around in WWE at a time where managers weren't there. Now, he came around the 80s. There's always a way to protect Sting where he could have gotten better. And as long, you know, they could have worked with him on the promos, they would have worked with him on the promos. And things may have been different. But, you know, he goes in a different time where he's on his own. that's not necessarily the case, because he was a star that wasn't made by WWE, and they would have put, you know, that really would have hampered him. And he couldn't talk, and he's not, you know, not the grandest thespian in the world. I think that picked up and showed itself when he was in TNA. You know, he was much better there. But for a long time, he wasn't. And that can be held against him, and I can see how that could happen. I just want to quickly run through, because if anybody didn't hear Hour 1, the historical performers who are on this ballot, the Assassins, who I'm going through a record book right now on them, doing a project for the website. How they're not in, I have no idea. Red Bastine, June Byers, Cowboy Bob Ellis, Bob Geigel, Pepper Gomez, Dick Hutton, Rocky Johnson, The Rock's father, Kenji Shibuya, John Tolos, Enrique Torres, the Von Bronners and Sal Weinergroff, Mr. Wrestling 2, Johnny Walker, Mr. Wrestling Tim Woods and Ron Wright. In the modern U.S. in Canada, the U.S. and Canadian modern performers category, Daniel Bryan, the Junkyard Dog, Edge, who's always an interesting candidate, Kurt Hennig, Ivan Koloff, Brock Lesnar, Randy Orton, CM Punk, Big Show, Sergeant Slaughter, Sting, AJ Styles, and The Ultimate Warrior. Which kind of brings me to the other categories here, and we won't get into these too heavy, but I'll just throw the names out there. And, Vic, anybody that I mention out of this as we lead into the non-performers category, you know, let me know if you have any thoughts on. The Japanese candidates, Jun Akiyama, Sima, George Gordienko, Volk Han, Masahiko Kimura, the tag team of Satoshi Kojima and Hiroshi Tenzan, Yuji Nagata, Shinsuke Nakamura, the Sharp Brothers, Minoru Suzuki, Kiyoshi Tamura, and Akira Taue. In Mexico, this is probably the most stacked ballot. This is the one that Dave Meltzer believes is by far the most stacked. And looking at it just from an outside point of view, it's really hard for me to say anything else against it. Pero Aguayo Jr., who passed away earlier on this year. The tag team of the Brothers Brazo, which today you may only know who Super Porky is, Brazo de Plata. But the brothers, Oro and Brazo as well, and it was a different time back in the day. Porky wasn't always just Super Porky. They were a monster unit. Cien Caras, Hector Garza, Ultimo Guerrero, Carlo Flagarde, Blue Panther, L.A. Park, Hurricane Ramirez, the Death Missionaries, Vampiro, Viano 3, and Dr. Wagner Jr. Over in Europe, for anybody who wants to call in and give their opinion on Big Daddy, and I know somebody does. Jim Breaks, Big Daddy, Horst Hoffman, Billy Joyce, Kendo Nagasaki, which is a different Kendo Nagasaki for those older fans out there who watch World Class, a completely different performer. Jackie Paolo, Mark Rocco, Johnny Saint, Ricky Starr, and Otto Wands, as far as the Australia, Pacific Islands, Caribbean, and African candidates. Spiros Arion, and most of these come out of Australia, where Jim Barnett's World Championship Wrestling in the 60s and into the 70s was a... You can see a lot of that stuff on YouTube, and I would suggest anybody out there, there's a lot of really good stuff with a lot of really awesome performers on there. And that group is Spiros Arion, Johnny Barron, Brute Bernard, and Skull Murphy, who a lot of older fans who do research will see, you know, a lot of long career in Charlotte and up in the WWWF, where they were quite legendary. Carlos Colon, Dominic DiNucci, Killer Carl Cox, Mark Lewin, and Mario Milano. And the only category left are the non-wrestlers, and that's where a lot of very interesting names come into the mix there, because you can choose five guys from that category who don't count against your 10. And even by, you know, with that being the case, there are still a lot of awesome names out there. But, you know, I just spit off a lot of names for you, Vic, and I'm not sure how familiar you are with a lot of those guys. But from the international point of view, is there anybody that stands out to you or would say, hey, why isn't that person in there?
Gosh, I could use, if I had a ballot here, I could probably go through, get close to 10 just looking at Mexico and Japan. There's that Mexican roster is just overloaded with talent. But I know you spend an awful lot of time watching Japanese pro wrestling, and you do a show about it, as a matter of fact, at WrestlingObserver.com. So there was a couple of guys when I looked at this ballot that I wanted to ask you about and just get your professional opinion, Mr. Semper Vivi. And those two guys are Brian Alvarez's favorite wrestler, Minoru Suzuki, and the other guy who I was just curious to get your take on was Akira Taue, because he was part of such a boom for the All Japan promotion. One of the four most important guys, the four pillars at the time, but he was also clearly the fourth of the four. So I'm just curious, in your mind, where he ranks.
He belongs in quicker than Johnny Ace does. I don't know. Probably people out there just slam their heads against whatever they're listening unit they're listening on. But see, Johnny Ace was part of a great, great tag team over there. A great tag team, and is a member of a lot of 4- and 5-star matches. Believe it or not, a lot of people would not know that about Mr. Charisma, John Laurinaitis. But Tawai, of course, ranks in above him, and Tawai probably, because of the amount of great matches that he was in and his longevity, I'm not saying he doesn't belong in. I think the problem with him becomes a numbers game, and it just kind of depends on who you've been loyal to. You know, Shinsuke Nakamura came on the ballot this year. Roshi Tanahashi was last year, and I think, you know, he's going to steal, votes from guys. And I hear the music, so I will get into this after the break. But Tawai, I think he's a victim of the numbers game when it comes to the 10. But we'll talk about that when we come back. Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Radio Network.
It's the Yellow Tag Event, and now is the time to find your ultimate adventure. Whether you're hitting the trails with a Can-Am ATV or side-by-side, the open road on a Can-Am Spyder, or carving snow on a Ski-Doo snowmobile, you can turn up the excitement for any season with our industry-leading performance and technology. Hurry into your local dealer by October 31st and save up to $3,000 on select 2015 models and get up to a 3-year warranty. Restrictions may apply. See your dealer for details. For safety and training info, contact the ATV Safety Institute.
Hey, so you saw the premiere of Undateable Live Friday, right?
Oh, yeah, man. I was part of the show. I even tweeted the cast during the show.
Wow, really?
Yes, you can literally connect with the cast during Undateable Live on social media.
That's
like, you
so
know,
cool.
Like Twitter or Instagram, you
mm-hmm.
know? So it's unlike any TV experience ever. I mean, this show isn't just live. It's alive.
It's amazing. Then it's the premiere of a new comedy, Truth Be Told, starring Mark Paul Gosselaar and Tone Bell.
Man, it looks laugh out loud funny.
Tonight on NBC.
Woo, it's going to be good.
Are you struggling with addiction or alcohol problems? If you're depressed, drinking, and using drugs, you may need help, and your insurance may offer coverage.
I knew I could get myself out of this. I just needed some hope and some help.
I took the first step to recovery when I made the call.
Call the Addiction Hope and Helpline now for a free assessment with someone who cares. Call 800-521-3214, 800-521-3214.
I feel like I'm losing control. I'm afraid I'll lose my job or even my family.
Call now for hope and help with proven, gentle recovery programs.
I never thought that I could be somebody who didn't drink and use drugs.
I'm in recovery, getting the help I need.
Call the Addiction Hope and Helpline now for a free assessment with someone who cares. Call 800-521-3214, 800-521-3214.
We all know healthcare has changed drastically. It's quite the puzzle to sort through your options and find a health insurance plan that's affordable and maximizes your benefits. And you're now required by law to have health insurance, or you may pay a tax penalty. So let the Health Markets Insurance Agency help you. They offer plans from over 120 different companies and can even help you obtain government subsidies. Let them do all the research for you and show you how affordable health insurance can be, a service that's at no extra cost to you. Call now and learn your options to find affordable health insurance. 800-614-1242. 800-614-1242. 800-614-1242. 800-614-1242.
Health Markets Insurance Agency is a DBA or assumed name of InSphere Insurance Solutions, Inc., which is a licensed insurance agency in all 50 states and D.C. Not all agents are licensed to sell all products. Service availability varies by state.
It's a new day. Yes, it is.
You are listening to Wrestling Observer Live with Brian Alvarez and Mike Sempervivi on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network.
All right, we're back here on Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Radio Network. Mike Sempervivi in the big boy chair for Vic Sosa, or for Brian Alvarez. And Vic Sosa brought his own chair into the studio because, you know, the one that Brian supplies me with is just not up to his royal standards. So producer Dom putting me in a good mood, rolling back in with the new day. He knows how to make me a little bit happier. But back to where we were, Vic. Talking about Akira Taue, and I think with him it just really it becomes a part of the numbers game over there. I'm a big supporter of the Sharp Brothers. From a historical standpoint, I think they should be in. I've always been a supporter of Yuji Nagata, which a lot of people are not. And I bet you every person that votes for Akira Taue is not voting for Yuji Nagata or is not voting for possibly somebody else, which is really the thing that keeps him out. I have a feeling that Taue is going to be one of those guys that he doesn't make it in. He's probably always going to remain on the ballot until the time limit comes up where he drops off and goes into a historical category. And that's where I think a lot of the historians, a lot of those guys who are more of a numbers base and a influence base will look back and he'll end up making it in that way. But I think as time goes on with the state that we're in right now with Japanese wrestling, with the fact that you know, the older voters, I hate to say this, but it's true. They start to die off. They start to get a little bit older. Things happen that way. And then, a younger group comes in. The historians get younger. And guys like Sima, who the older guys probably would never think to put in, you know, being Dragon Gate's biggest star and a very influential person, I don't think they'd put him in. You know, they'd put Taue in and, you know, as time goes on, some of Taue's stuff slips away a little bit, and the historians need to look at it because the names like Sima and Shinsuke Nakamura and guys like that start taking precedence. And I think that's probably my biggest thing with him is just I would put him in. He always, you know, as I start whittling down, he's always there. But there's always 10 other guys that I feel stronger about that I believe belong in quicker.
Talk to me a little bit about Shinsuke Nakamura, because I think he's a really interesting guy. I was thinking about this earlier today, and for some reason, the name CM Punk came popping into my head, and not because they were similar characters at all, but I think they find themselves in similar situations with some voters, in that Punk has had a great run those last couple of years, but a lot of people are of the opinion that he needed another year or two or maybe even three at that level in order to get their vote. And I look at Nakamura, and I think he's become a phenomenal character. He was always a tremendous wrestler. And he's really just sort of found himself in these last couple of years. But I can remember distinctly, and you will probably remember this a lot better than me, and maybe you feel or felt differently about it at the time. But he was a guy who for a long time came across, for me at least, as kind of bland and somebody that New Japan was intent on really pushing to the moon, who I didn't think had the presence or the charisma, as funny as that sounds to say now, to really warrant the spot that they were trying very hard to shoehorn him into. And so I still have some of those visions in my head when I look even at today's Nakamura, when I consider the ballot. And I think that I would like to see, like Punk, another 2 or 3 years of this version of Nakamura before I'd cast my vote for him. And I wonder what you think about that.
Absolutely. All that stuff's fair. And there, you know, you see it a lot when it comes to when guys start revealing their ballots, you know, and you start looking at they won't vote for Randy Orton or anybody, you know, who is still active because that story's not written yet. Now, I think there's some cases like a Cena, a Triple H, a Rock. You know, to me, that's no-brainer things. But, you know, you see that with the Baseball Hall of Fame all the time. I'm not putting this guy in, you know, on his first year on the ballot. And I think a lot of people go, hey, just because he's 35 and has been in the business now for 15 years, and yeah, he'll probably make it in some way. He doesn't need to make it in right now when I got these other 10 guys. But, and I'll say this, I've always been biased for Shinsuke Nakamura. Adam Summers and I on the Big Audio Nightmare have been, you know, if people listen to that show and the Paresu Power Hour before it, we have been going on for years about Shinsuke Nakamura, and I do not hold the way New Japan pushed him against him because he was set out to fail and to die in an era where Antonio Inoki wanted, and a lot of people will never believe this, Lyoto Machida to be a great professional wrestling, basically these shoot favors, you know, the working wrestling matches, but also fighting on New Year's Eve and fighting in Pride and K1 and these other groups. And Shinsuke Nakamura, I think, was a victim of that. You know, he wins the title from Tenzan at a time where business is not good. It gets a little bit of a pop, and 3 months later, he's getting knocked out by Alexei Ignashov on New Year's Eve because he's just a wrestler, and he faced a kickboxer. He just kept going for takedowns and kept getting them. But in the, I think it was the, late in the second round, third round, Ignashov just timed one, hit him with a knee, fractures his orbital bone. So then they send him out there on that following January 4th against Yoshiro Takayama. Now, for a little bit of backstory, Yuji Nagata, they did this with too, and he goes out there and loses to Mirko Krokop a few years prior, and that killed his push. They decided to put the IWGP title on Tadao Yasuda. They, you know, Nagata was a dead wrestler. I mean, we're talking about him on the Hall of Fame ballot now, but he was dead as far as many observers go in the water, and as far as many fans go. And that wasn't his fault. It was because he was put in a bad position. But, you know, they did try to book him back strong by having him beat guys like Boss Rutten in wrestling matches, having him go out there and thrash guys like Yoshihiro Takayama on January 4th, which he had to do after getting knocked out by Krokop. When it came to Nakamura, they didn't do that. Suzuki was made, or Takayama was made to look, you know, just as strong. And even though Nakamura got the win, he didn't get that dominant win. And from there, it was tough. And the fact that he didn't find himself and he was not himself, it took an excursion to Japan. Much like it, you know, this is where those excursions are still great. Not everybody gets to the luck to be Okado in TNA. You know, some guys actually go and further themselves and get better. And Nakamura, this character he found of this Mike, part Michael Jackson, part Punk, part I have no idea what this dude is doing. And nobody did. And only he could do it. You know, that way he found himself and rebounded from that. I think he's a no-brainer Hall of Famer. He's on my list. He and Yuji Nagata both are on my list. But I can completely understand, because of how early we are still in this guy's career, that you may not want to put him in as part of your 10 yet. I will say this, though. He is a no-brainer Hall of Famer to me. He really honestly is. And I know there are people that will bring up drawing and things like that. But, hey, look, Tanahashi was right there with him. As a handcuff, is Tanahashi a bigger star? Absolutely, he is. But is could you have Tanahashi without Nakamura? Yeah, you could, but I bet you it wouldn't be the same. And I really think that Tanahashi's the clear 1A. Nakamura a lot further back as a 1B. But there's nobody, I think there's a big, deep divide before you get from that 1B to the 2 as far as anybody else who's not an outsider like Minoru Suzuki or somebody like that in the annals of recent New Japan. So Okada's on his way there. I mean, absolutely. And when it comes time for him, God, he's got so far to go. But he's such a no—he on paper right now, he's like Herschel Walker or Bo Jackson. If you saw him in college, it's like, Jesus Christ, this guy's going to be a Hall of Famer. Unless something bizarre happens, I think Okada will be. But that's, I think, with the thing with Nakamura, and I think that's the thing that people are really going to hold against him. One for me that I'll throw out to you is Minoru Suzuki, Brian Alvarez's favorite wrestler. And I was never a Suzuki fan for a long time, but I did get into him a lot talking to people that have worked with him, talking to people that were, back in the day where I thought that he and Takayama were being pricks and not working very well. As time goes out, and what I've learned is, no, they were working great. And there are names on that ballot that get bandied about, like Volk Han, Kiyoshi Tamura, names like that who did that shoot style in professional wrestling over there. Minoru Suzuki, they always talk about how great Han was for his limited experience, and he was. We always talk about how great Tamura was, and he was really great. I think Kiyoshi Tamura is the greatest wrestler ever at the style that he worked. And Josh Barnett's right up there, too, with that kind of work. But the best of the bunch in pro wrestling terms, by far, and to me the one with the most legendary status, it's got to be Minoru Suzuki. And the legacy of his run and those last, the matches with AJ Styles and the ones like that he's had over the last couple of years, and being this figurehead of Noah still to this day. And there's no end in sight. That's the thing with Suzuki to me, is there's no end in sight. But how do you look at him?
He's someone that is really interesting to me, because you described my feelings on him absolutely perfectly. When I first started seeing him a few years ago, probably longer than a few years ago. But just like you said, I saw the uncooperative stuff, and I didn't get it.
Yeah.
I didn't understand.
And you know what? I'll shoehorn this in, Vic, and I'm sorry, but I'll shoehorn it and just tie it in with like the Nakamura stuff, because his legacy and Takayama's legacy about getting beat up in Pride, and Suzuki's legacy about training with like Shamrock and all those guys in that style, they started to come into Noah and All Japan and New Japan at a time where those guys like Nakamura and the wrestling fan were being pushed away, which really made it worse for, I think, a lot of us wrestling fans.
That's an interesting point. Yeah.
Obviously, it's all changed around 180, but, you know, that's I think that probably is held against him, too.
Yeah. But like you, I went from someone who didn't really understand what he was doing, didn't get it, didn't like it, to someone who, when I started to understand what was going on, just thought he's absolutely brilliant. Just brilliant. And talking about how he's still going strong. I mean, the guy is not only still going strong, looks better than he ever did. I mean, did you expect to see him in the shape he showed up in January 4th and the kind of condition he's continued to carry in during this run with Noah, where he's the GHC heavyweight champion? The guy has just been a revelation to me once I started to really understand what it was he was about and get into it and really just sort of find sort of a groove when it comes to watching him. And I really need to go back and watch a whole lot more of him to say one way or the other, because I don't think my sample size on the grand scheme of things with Minoru Suzuki is large enough to say yes or no one way or the other. But at this point, based on what I've seen, especially in the last few years, man, I mean, if he's half as good 10 years ago as he has been the last 3 or 4 years, how do you not vote him in?
He's amazing, and he's another guy with influence. I think as people talk to wrestlers from this era, as they move on, and you know, how big of an influence Minoru Suzuki is going to be is still to be determined. Just got a couple minutes left here. We got to do more of these shows. Just so much great debate and things like that. The non-wrestler category, which you can choose up to 5, and this is probably the most loaded category for me because I love announcers and stuff like that, but Bill Apter, Dave Brown, Jim Crockett Jr., Jim Crockett Sr., Gary Hart, Jimmy Hart, Howard Finkel, Jerry Jarrett, Larry Matisick, Gorilla Monsoon, Mean Gene Okerlund, Don Owen, George Scott, and Stanley Weston. My 5 this year, Stanley Weston, Mean Gene Okerlund, Jerry Jarrett, George Scott, and Gary Hart. So many names on there I think belong in. I think Weston belongs in before Apter because of the magazines, but or the fact that he owned them and the fact he's in the Boxing Hall of Fame too. Quickly, Vic, what do you think about some of the names on that list, and who would you be your 5 off the top of your head?
Gosh, I could get more than 5 from this list easy as well. I think the first, and maybe just because he announces retirement this year after such a legendary career, Dave Brown is on my 5 for this year for sure. Would definitely double up on Mean Gene Okerlund. I'm interested, and maybe it's just because I spend so much time and privilege to do so talking with Les Thatcher on Doc Young's Wrestling Weekly. Show, by the way, as a cheap plug, is up at WrestlingObserver.com right now for this week, where we spend a lot of time on those historical candidates as well on this ballot. But, you know, he had such respect and such esteem for Jim Crockett Sr. and speaks so highly of him and tells so many great stories about the Crockett family that I moved to want to put Mr. Crockett Sr. on the ballot. I mean, the foundation for the promotion that went head up with WWE on TBS for those years, he laid the foundation for it. So there's definitely a lot to that. And I would definitely give some strong consideration, if I didn't already say it, forgive me, I don't mean to repeat myself, but Jerry Jarrett would definitely be on my list as well, Mike.
Absolutely. And folks, we'll be right back. Wrestling Observer Live here on the Sports Byline Radio Network.
Are you an inventor who would like to try to have an invention or idea patented and submitted to companies, but you don't know what to do next? Call for free information from InventHelp. InventHelp, a leading inventor service company, has been helping inventors since 1984 and has sales offices located in more than 60 cities nationwide. You'll want to talk to the company that has helped secure more than 7,000 invention patents. So call InventHelp. Even if you have an idea for improving an existing product and don't know where to go with it, you'll still want to call InventHelp for free information. You'll find out how InventHelp may assist you in trying to patent your invention and submit it to companies. So call now.
Call InventHelp at 1-800-316-1738. That's 1-800-316-1738. Get your free information by dialing 1-800-316-1738. That's 1-800-316-1738. 1-800-316-1738.
Today, more than ever, Americans need a means to protect their life savings. With a troubled economy and government spending out of control, they've been forced to promote loose money policies, which decreases the value of the dollar and promotes inflation. Birch Gold Group can help you protect your savings by rolling over all or a portion of your IRA or 401k into an IRA backed by physical gold. Take advantage of the best gold prices in years and enjoy the long-term hedge against inflation that gold provides by moving into a gold IRA from Birch Gold Group, the precious metal IRA specialists. Call Birch Gold Group today for a free consultation on how a tax-free rollover to a gold IRA can offer stability, protection, and the peace of mind that your life savings, which you've worked so hard to build, is safe. Call 888-221-0010 and receive Birch Gold's free information kit, which offers the best-kept secrets for safeguarding your savings with gold. Call 888-221-0010. That's 888-221-0010. Are you a business owner or an individual who owes the IRS? Then be prepared to write down an important phone number. Do you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes? Do you need to file back tax returns? Are you dealing with bank levies and wage garnishments? It's time to deal with your IRS problem today. Call Certified Tax Tax Representation now. Certified Tax Tax Representation, Inc. represents clients just like you in all 50 states. They will contact the IRS on your behalf the same day that you become a client, and you can become a client immediately. It's time for you to face your IRS problems. Think about how great you're going to feel when you're represented by a company who's an advocate for you, who knows the law, who also will contact the IRS the same day you become a client. Call today for your free, no-obligation consultation. Call now, 1-800-999-1064. That's 1-800-999-1064. Not all cases are typical, and some may not qualify. The consultation is free, and so is the call, so call right now. 1-800-999-1064. That's 1-800-999-1064.
You are listening to Wrestling Observer Live with Brian Alvarez and Mike Sempervivi on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network.
All right, we're back on Wrestling Observer Live here on the Sports Byline Radio Network. As the song goes, there's no easy way out. Can't remember what the Robert Tepper, I can't remember, but Rocky. Great, great movie. Rocky should be in the Pro Wrestling Hall of Fame. Actually, wait, he is. Sylvester Stallone is in a Wrestling Hall of Fame. He happens to be in WWE's Hall of Fame, along with other luminaries such as Donald Trump and other men like that. But, Vic, I guess to put a big exclamation point on the last 2 hours of conversation about the Wrestling Observer Newsletter Hall of Fame, again, we could go on for forever about this, but why don't you hype up what you have going on, and I guess any final thoughts you have on the Observer Hall of Fame?
Well, yeah, as I mentioned before, the show that I do on a weekly basis with the legendary Les Thatcher, who, by the way, is turning 75 in a couple of weeks, and he told me, well, I can't tell you what he told me to tell you on the air because we'd get pulled off, but it's called Doc Young's Wrestling Weekly. It's up on the site at WrestlingObserver.com right now, talking a lot about the historical candidates for the Wrestling Observer Hall of Fame ballot, and a couple of Les's takes on some of the modern ones and why he did vote for someone who's currently active, although he normally does not do that. So you can go up to the site and check that out. One of the other candidates I did just want to throw in really, really quickly, because I know we're getting ready to get out of here, Los Misionarios de la Muerte out of Mexico, El Signo, El Tejano, and Negro Navarro. Those guys revolutionized the business. Trios matches were not a regular thing until they came along. That's worth the vote in my book.
And I don't think you're the only one, and I have a feeling you and I will be doing this again sometime real soon on this subject. But I want to thank Vic. I want to thank producer Dom. I want to thank all of you out there for listening. This is Mike Sempervivi, Wrestling Observer Live. We will talk to you again after a while.